Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today on my show, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everybody.
And our guest today is an old friend of Barbara's. Apparently, her name is Tylan John, March 1992, for the Playmate series.
Miss March 1992.
Hi,
Tylan.
Hi, Barbara.
Somebody from my year. I love that. I feel like I'm going home.
I know. It's like yesterday, right?
It really is. It's not yesterday, but it feels like yesterday, and I'm so happy to be doing this because of the mere fact I am getting back in touch with all of my friends, my Playmate sisters, and it's wonderful. It's been great.
How life goes, huh? You literally 20 years goes by, and you go, oh, my gosh, I haven't talked to Barbara or I even talked to so-and-so, and then you get to reconnect. It's really cool.
It really is. So thank you for wanting to do this.
20 years.
I know. And I wanted to tell, if any of you weren't listening when we had Christy Tom on, you called in, and I told you, you are the very first Playmate I ever did meet, which was very special to me.
Oh, and
she
I didn't know that.
In,
he called me that.
Christy
yeah.
Tom might be calling in, by the way. She might be calling in with the chicken on yet. So, but go on.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Okay, that's awesome. So, why we are doing this show, Tylan, is because a lot of people, they ask the same questions over and over. I don't know how many times I've answered the same typical questions about being a Playboy Playmate. And yeah, we're going to ask those too, but we're also going to find out what makes you tick. Like, who are you inside? I mean, because, hey, don't stereotype us people. We're people.
Right.
We have hearts and souls and feelings and normal lives like you do. Just because we have this title doesn't make us, you know, not inhuman. So that's what I like to touch upon. So, but the first question we ask everybody to start it off with, because it's like, this is the question that I get more often than any, is how did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Oh, well, we go way back a few years. And what happened was one of the makeup artists or one of the photographers said that I should meet David Meese and do the book of lingerie and test for a Playmate. Well, I did that, and then they never responded. So I just went on about my business. I was working a lot for Fredericks of Hollywood and Shirley of Hollywood and Venus Swimwear and all these other modeling jobs. And then I did a shoot with Alexis Vogel, who was a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you should test to be a Playmate. And I said, no, they didn't respond to me before, so maybe I'm not what they're looking for. And then Stephanie Barnett walked in from her lunch break, and we were looking at pictures that we had shot. And she wanted to order a couple for her portfolio. And this was at the Playboy building on Sunset. And so Stephanie Barnett said, oh, my gosh, I love these pictures. They're really great. Why don't you test to be Playmate? And I said, oh, yeah, maybe, you know. And I was thinking, man. And she goes, why don't you come upstairs and do a Polaroid test? Or no, she said, why don't you come upstairs and talk to me? And before I knew it, I was disrobed in the dressing room, and she was taking Polaroids of me. And so I filled out something. Maybe it was my Playmate data sheet. I don't remember. And so I left, and I remember driving home smirking, going, okay, that was really effing weird. And then, so I wasn't really thinking anything was going to happen. And so he called me and said, great news, we want to do a test. And that was like a week later. And so I tested, and then I didn't hear from him for like 6 months. And so I said, oh, brother, is it, here we go again. So Alexis asked me, have you heard from Playboy? And I said, no, I'm not worried about it, whatever. And she said, well, did you get a rejection letter? And I said, no. And she goes, okay, that's good, because that means they like you, but just don't know which month, or maybe they're shuffling girls, or they have too many right now, or whatever. So I said, oh, okay. And so Stephanie Barnett called me on like a Friday, and she said, okay, we're going to keep your centerfold on Monday. And I was like, what?
Wow.
It was just like out of nowhere. 6 months later, come in on Monday, we're going to shoot your centerfold. And there you go. And so I shot my centerfold and then the rest of my layout. And then small camera, I guess, is what they called it. And then I did my Playmate video. And so they called me like in November. So from November to when my issue came out, February 1st, wasn't that much time. So it was literally very fast, everything. So
wow. That's wonderful. You deserved it after all of that waiting.
No, I know, you know, but I just did my thing. You know, I already had kind of a successful modeling career, and
yeah.
I was doing commercials, and so it wasn't, you know, how I started. So it was like a modeling job. So you don't always get every job you go on. You go on, you know, 20 castings, and if you get a couple jobs, you're lucky.
Yeah, so you just have that mindset out about it. That is wonderful, but I love your centerfold, and I love it when they really care about what's going on with this person, find out, and do a theme accordingly. And they did it with you. Tell us about your Harley experience. You are wonderful centerfold, everybody. March 1992, one of the coolest, most memorable centerfolds, and you're laying on a Harley Davidson. Because tell us why.
Well, I've been riding motorcycles. I started on little mini bikes probably when I was about 4 or 5 years old. The first memory I have is going camping with my family, and we had mini bikes and motorcycles always because my father raced for Harley Davidson and Triumph in the 50s and was California state champion. So he always rode motorcycles. So we were a motorcycle family, you know. So
all girls, three girls
and one boy. My brother's the oldest, and so he rode, of course, as well. So the only one that didn't ride was my mom. So
cute.
Yeah, I was riding mini bikes, and then every couple of years, my dad would upgrade my dirt bike. And so we used to always go dirt bike riding, and then when I was 16, I started riding Harleys.
Cool.
And
did you have your own Harley? Did you have your own? Because there was that shot in your opening page of Playboy. And I think, was it you and your two sisters riding the Harleys?
Yes. I had a Sportster that was bored out to a 1200, meaning the engine was, you know, super, supersonic. It was very fast.
Awesome.
And then my sister Tony had a Sportster, just a stock Sportster. And then my sister Tina had a Fat Boy, my oldest
cool.
sister.
Those are heavy for a woman.
Yeah, they're very heavy, but, you know, it's all about balance, balancing the bike.
True.
Yeah.
Well, Tyne, I should have called you because years later I was gifted. Somebody gave me a Harley on a movie set. Well, Charlie Sheen gave me a Harley. And I kept it for years, and I was a little afraid. I mean, I must tell you, I was afraid I was going to maybe get scraped up, you know, tip it, hurt myself. So I never did learn. I should have called you. You probably would have helped me. You would have helped me probably, huh?
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, when you grow up riding motorcycles, you don't have that fear. When you start something as a kid, you don't have that fear. But as an adult, we get this fear sitting in our mind that, oh, we might get hurt. Oh, we might this. Oh, we might that. But a kid goes, hell yeah, give me that motorcycle. I'm going to rip around on it. That's fun. So maybe
I did. And you know what? My dad taught my brother all of that. He didn't teach me, but your dad had a son, taught him, but then taught all three daughters too, which is so cool because it's a skill that not many women have.
No, and it was really when I would ride, I used to do the Mulholland to the Rock Store, and I used to do Monday night, we'd all meet and go riding. We used to go to the Sagebrush Cantina on Sundays. You know, we had all these places where we would just meet and go riding together and go have lunch or dinner, you know, whatever, and then go home. So I really enjoyed the social aspect of it, but, you know, there were no women that were riding. It was all men, and the women were usually on the back. And if you did see a woman, it was very rare.
Special. And did you get more attention? Because not just you were a woman riding a Harley, but you were a playmate riding a Harley showing up.
I mean,
how cool is that? Wow.
After my layout came out, it was pretty cool. People would recognize me, and you know, it was very big in the bike world. And then I had my poster, which was really big in the bike world, because it wasn't really common for a girl, like you said, to ride, and then for a playmate to ride. And it wasn't fake. It was like I really rode a Harley, and I could ride any size Harley. So it wasn't like I was just a beginner rider. I was like a very experienced rider.
And you could ride it, like you were saying, very, very well. So I'm wondering, since you already had a modeling career, I mean, those are big companies. What was that?
I was naughty because I didn't wear a helmet for most of that time until the helmet law in 92.
Go figure.
Yeah.
When you're doing all of the motorcycle events and everything as a celebrity, then you have to have a helmet on.
So they changed it to have the helmet law, and so I complied. You know, it's probably smart, but
it is.
It was fun to ride with no helmet.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, so you were already modeling, and those are very big companies, the ones you mentioned, Fredericks of Hollywood, Shirley of Hollywood. I know them very well, but they usually choose playmates. And so how were they? They must have been pleasantly surprised that you now were a Playboy Playmate, because they liked that, those companies.
Oh, yeah. They were both really
good
companies.
Did you raise your prices?
No, they always paid what they paid, which was really good. I always got paid really well from them. And Fredericks of Hollywood hired me because they also did lingerie shows. So I would go to New York and Newark, New Jersey, and other areas because they actually had runway shows, and they would take us to do their runway shows. But I only got to work for them a couple more times after I was a playmate, because then I was always booked on promotions and I was never available. So that kind of sucked, but they were both really nice companies to work for.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that's good. But, okay, since you were published on the shelves, this must have really boosted your career, because there's a lot of playmates. You said I wasn't even interested in modeling at all, but you were. So I noticed, you know, after I did Playboy, so much work came. Did that just really change your life as a model?
Yeah, I think so. I think it really boosted, it gave you a title. I mean, it can be a double-edged sword sometimes, but that's really with anything you choose in life. So, you know, I found that some companies didn't want to hire me anymore, got more work. So it was really...
What I was going to say is I think we have a caller. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Who is it? Okay. Have you screened this caller well, Johnny?
Hello, yes, I
have. Girl. Oh, good.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi. What's going on, ladies?
What are you doing?
I'm making cards. What are you doing?
Miss February 91.
Yes.
Called to say hi to my girls.
Aww, hi.
Hi, Christy. What are you up to?
I know. I just, you know, making cards, the usual. Doing my thing. I just wanted to say hello, tell you that I love you so much. You are one of my very best friends in the whole world. You know that.
I love you too. Yeah, I know.
Christy, can you tell us a story? Can you tell us a story about you and Tywin, some maybe a job or an event you did together a while time? Or
story where I do something nice.
I got a story. One time, this guy, I won't mention his name, but let's just say, let's get ready to rumble. Okay. So this guy tells me and Tywin, hey, I want to buy you guys a drink. And so we were going to buy drinks anyways, but we were going to buy like 10 drinks because we didn't want to like keep going back to the bar. So we ordered 10 shots, and the guy, Mr. Dude, was like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, I didn't agree to that. Anyway,
so
he didn't end up paying for
it. Oh, well, we have 10 drinks. 10 drinks.
And then
over
we make
there.
Fun of him.
Okay,
all
thanks.
Night.
Yeah.
We've actually got memories. Well, I know. We have a lot of fun memories.
What about getting ready together before a mansion party or something like that? Did you guys do that?
I don't think we ever got ready together. No, we met each other there a lot. But I don't think we ever got ready together.
Talking about your outfits ahead of time, things like that. It's always good to have a bestie playmate pal.
I miss those parties, though. I really do. That sucks. I wish somebody would have, like, bought the mansion and then kept doing the parties. Why didn't they rent it out for, like, parties and special events and a wedding? They could have probably made money doing that.
I think they were trying to.
And
then Cooper was having some of his parties.
I think the upkeep of that place, I heard, was like $5 million a year, though, just to upkeep it.
Wow.
Oh,
but
those
were so much fun. It was like a reunion every time we got to, you know. At the time, I totally took it for granted that, you know, like I really loved seeing everybody. You know, a couple times a year, we would run into each other up at the mansion, and it was so nice.
It was fun.
Yeah,
and
totally.
We got to see old friends. Yeah, it was, and then
exactly.
On Easter, you could take your kids.
Mm-hmm. The 4th of July. I mean, that was a great bonus to being a playmate, was our access to the mansion.
Yeah,
and how
totally.
Much fun we had up there. I mean, we've all got, like, crazy fun, really fun mansion stories. That was just fun.
And Christy talked to Hef a lot. I want to know if Tywin talked to Hef. If you had conversations with him like Christy did.
No.
I never really had a conversation.
What did you say?
Who, me?
She wants to know if you had a conversation with Hef. She did. Yes, because the girls in the 90s, we didn't really, because he was married and, you know, you kind of stayed, you know, away. Uh-huh. And she did, though.
I didn't have any conversation. I remember one time, right after my layout came out, I went up for Sunday dinner, and my mom was with me, and Heck walked right out to me, and he goes, "Your pictorial is beautiful," and he said, "And so is your mother." And I was like, "Oh, he's so charming, he's so sweet."
Wow.
But I was just standing there like, "Oh shit! I hope Kimberly doesn't see this because I'm gonna get blacklisted." I'm like thinking, "Don't talk to me, dude."
It was a worry, Christy. It was a worry, but she said she didn't have that kind of worry with Hess. Because
wow.
I wasn't a blonde. I was so far from, like, Hess, you know, taste, you know. So I might as well have been a boy.
You were, yeah, you were
it.
Too ethnic. You were too ethnic
totally.
For Hess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's true.
He wanted to walk on the exotic side.
Yeah, totally. He was not walking on the exotic side, that's for sure, except for monkeys.
No.
Other than that, that's it.
Kimberly wasn't
wow.
worried about that. So, I mean, that is great. That was her open door to have more of a relationship with him, like the girls in the 90s. We didn't get that. I ask everybody, and she's the first one who really had conversations with him.
I
so
wouldn't
what
say conversations.
You,
I've had like a couple conversations.
Like what?
Well, we talked about, I thanked him for sending me to school. I talked to him. Mostly I had probably two conversations with him, and both times were about my paintings. Were about art. So
oh, wow.
That was my sort of, I mean, they weren't like long conversations, girls. They were just like, maybe a minute and a half conversation. They weren't like deep or anything. They were just quickies passing
yeah.
the night. But
well, I had
but,
a few words.
You know.
It's more than I had.
Well, that's cool. Did he like your paintings?
Yeah, he did. He was really supportive, actually. Yeah, he seemed, I mean, he loves art, you know. He's always been, like, an art lover. And I don't know if he was placating me or what, but he seemed really supportive, and that was really nice.
Yeah,
and
that's
the magazine
very nice.
Had, you know, my paintings in the back of it a couple of times, so that was really nice. I felt really supported by them in that direction. Like,
oh, I didn't know
huge,
you did
actually.
That for you. They
yeah,
featured
yeah.
your artwork. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they did. They did that twice, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I wish the company had been set up differently in regards to the Playmates that worked a lot and worked for many years for them. I wish they had retirement for us, and I wish that
seriously.
They had, residuals and
oh,
or
God. Yes.
It would have been nice if we could have paid into a retirement plan, and we would have had, you know, health benefits,
something,
et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's why I kind of got blacklisted when I was a Playmate, because I tried to start something like that, and I was just, like, considered a shit starter for talking that way at the
yeah.
time.
Wow, and I don't get that, because we were the whole reason Playboy was so successful. We were the
yeah.
whole reason that
the, whole reason.
The guys bought the magazine. So
yeah,
we should have been,
course.
In my opinion, we should have been valued more monetarily. That's just my
oh,
opinion.
Yeah. We got paid pennies. I mean, when you think about it, pennies,
yeah.
especially like the paying structure, how they give you a little bit here and a little bit, like what can you do with $2,000 here? And a, you know what I mean? Like, they,
right.
yeah, that
they
really
kind of has you over a barrel. Yeah, I get it. And I don't know. It seems silly. It seems like we could have had some type of retirement set up and, you know.
Yeah,
because
totally.
I'm sure
it would be nice.
I had retirement plans.
Oh, you can betcha that for sure. Yeah, they,
so
definitely. I feel like we did get taken advantage of a little in that sense, you know. I mean,
yeah, because you know what,
yeah.
when you're a young girl and you see, you know, you get starry eyes, like, oh my gosh, Playboy wants me, wow, like you're, you know, most women I think are in, or most young women, most of them are very young, and I think we get kind of mesmerized by the whole
sure.
thing. And instead of,
Yeah.
I have a question. I mean, you know, it seems to me, I was just wanting to know. It seems like there is a lot of a sisterhood. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I guess so.
Different personalities are different. So, yeah, some girls click more than others, and some girls are bitchy, some girls are crazy, some girls are, you know, it all depends.
Exactly.
We're all different, unique human beings. So all of us, you know, but we all, I think, in general, support one another in our whatever efforts. I mean, like, we love Barbara, so that's why we're doing her show, you know.
Christy said Barbara.
I was an oddball like her, which is true. And I never knew that you felt that. And I always felt that way. Always. But I didn't feel that way when I went in there with the Playmate sisters. You know, a lot of us were. Different. And we had been through the same things, you guys. I mean, most of the people in junior high and high school hated us, you know. I mean, yeah, sometimes the pretty people do.
All the girls were jealous and bitchy and saying bad things, and all the guys in high school had slept with you. Once you're a playmate, you're like, oh,
right.
Mm-hmm. But,
right. So we knew what everybody else had gone through.
Right, exactly.
Thank you, Christy, for calling in. I mean, it was sweet of you to say hi to Tylin.
Of course. I love you guys.
Okay.
I will talk to you soon, Tylin. I'll talk to you really soon. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you, Christy.
Bye.
So sweet. That was
I love her.
I love her, too. I mean, she was one of the other ones. She came up to the mansion and picked me up because I was alone up there staying and took me out for a really fun time and ever since then. And these people, like you and her, I need to stay in better touch with. So, you know, I'm making a point of that. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember when I got sick and I got diagnosed with systemic scleroderma in 98 or 99. I remember you called me and you said, I heard you're sick and I just wanted to tell you that if you need anything, I'm here. And I was like, wow, that is so sweet because so many people kind of dump you when you get sick. I know that sounds bizarre, but it meant a lot that you just even took a couple minutes to say, hey, I heard you're sick, and if I can do anything or if you need anything, call me. And that was really, you know, really a special thing.
I'm glad that I did that.
Yeah, sometimes we inspire others just by random acts of kindness. And
that don't take very long.
Right.
It was like Tylin.
When people get uncomfortable, like, what, Johnny?
Sorry, no, I was just going to say something nice about the both of you. I mean, like, Tylin was going on and on about how sweet you were, Barbara, before the show, and how you needed to be a stand-up comedian.
Thank you.
I just saying what she said. You know, I just want to jump in and do the thing, but, you know.
Thank you, Tylin. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, that's a big compliment. Yeah.
I think you're hilarious.
Jenny McCarthy said, Barbara, you know I get all of my material from you. The only difference between us is that you do yours in private, and I don't care. I'll say whatever I want in public.
Why don't you just get out there and do it?
I know. I don't know why. I guess that's why she is.
I haven't heard or seen Jenny McCarthy in like 25 years.
I did call her when I was pregnant because she wrote all those books about her pregnancy, and I called her when I was pregnant, but that was 13 years ago, so I haven't talked to her for 13 years, and now I see that she is finally following me on Twitter and Instagram. So, I mean, that's supportive. But it is kind of sad just because somebody, your peer, goes, you know, right up to the top. It doesn't mean that we should not talk to her. So I still try. And I loved her. I felt like we were friends.
I know. I heard that she just stopped talking to people. I don't know. Maybe sometimes, like, a lot of fame does that to people where they feel like they can't trust people, or who knows. But I would always want to keep the friends that I knew before I was famous, because I knew they liked me for me.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And when I broke up with the guy that had the private jet and no more, 10 people on these fantastic trips, I noticed, okay, the ones that still called me and the ones that didn't. And I know, well, I guess they just liked the private jet then. And not
Aww.
Me. Stuff like that.
See, I would beg you to borrow that private jet to go to Puerto Rico and load it up with my street dogs and bring them back.
Oh, that would have been fun. Oh, yeah, I would have loved that.
I cannot get anybody with an airplane that will help me. It's like, come on, there has to be some rich person with a plane that would want to save dogs and that would, you know, send a plane to help. Because due to COVID, there's already so many street dogs and street puppies, like little baby puppies just running in the street. And it's sad because during COVID, we can't get them shipped out, too. So COVID is, yes, because airlines
maybe
are shipping
privately.
Dogs.
Maybe privately, but it's out there. It maybe the private jet would be different. It's out there, though, Thailand, because that same boyfriend, he would take, it was called Doctors of Charity, and he would take doctors to Mexico for, you know, villages, yes, with no running water, and I went along, and I helped it. It's such a great feeling to help.
It's so awesome. You know, so some, I keep alive, because someday I keep praying, you know, I keep praying and hoping that someday somebody with a plane, a big plane, will say, hey, I'll go to Puerto Rico. And on the way back, I'll bring a load of dogs. Because
well,
you're literally saving lives. Because also they're animals. Yes, exactly. So I hope somebody's listening with a big plane that wants to help street dogs get a better life. And I get them the
but
best.
Do you do work? Do you do work like that, though? We might as well talk about if you are doing that kind of work with.
Yes.
Pet adoption
been,
or shelters?
Yes. Yeah. I've been doing dog rescue. I've rescued a lot of different animals along the way because any animal in need, I'll help because I'm a big animal lover advocate. And so I'd love to. Oh, so I have my own rescue, but I'd love to someday have somebody, like I said, plane. I rescue locally and in California, but I also spend part of my time in Puerto Rico because my husband's Puerto Rican descent.
Oh.
And we have family there. So we get to go to Puerto Rico and spend a lot of time. We have a house there. And
oh,
so
wonderful.
I come across
gorgeous there. I did not know that. Yes, my aunt, my cousin, he has twins that are the same as my daughter, girls, and he moved his whole life out there because his ex-wife is Puerto Rican. And so if we could time it at the same time, I could visit him and you, and that would be amazing.
That would be awesome. So I rescue dogs for the past probably 20 years, and so now my hope is to really be able to help the plight of the Puerto Rican street dog because it is part of the United States and we should be doing more to help. And they only have, I think, two or three animal shelters on the whole island. And these animal shelters are like a 99.9% kill. You know, it's It's very bad and very grim for any dog that ends up in the shelter there.
I'm glad you are talking about this on the air then, because I, you know, it's something that a lot of people aren't really thinking about. So, hey, this is a start.
Right.
And if we just get the word out there, there may be somebody who could really help. But I definitely want to go there when you're there.
Okay. I want you to come visit, and then I'll kind of show you what I'm talking about with the dogs and maybe bring more awareness to it. And hopefully
yeah,
the right
I
want
person
to
do a mission.
Hears about it.
I want to do a mission with you.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, I do. And, yeah, I do missions for people. Let's just change it up a little bit and do it for dogs.
Of course.
How long is the mission?
How long will the mission be? How long is the mission? Yeah. Well, I don't know. We haven't planned it yet.
Yeah, we could videotape the whole thing live. Show them what's happening on the streets there with the animals.
Let's
because
do
you know
it.
What? I'm sorry?
Our mission's usually a few days.
A week or two.
A week.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we will do it. And, okay, let's get back to right after your centerfold comes out, or maybe before. I like to know, how did your parents react to it? I mean, it seems like your dad probably is pretty cool about it.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I never told my parents. I made my sister swear to secrecy.
Oh,
because
you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding, because I thought, I didn't think anybody was going to know.
Oh, my goodness. I shouldn't have used a fake name.
Your parents don't know your centerfold?
No, they know now. They didn't know after I shot it. What happened was, so I shot it, and then I got a copy early, like a week or two early before it came out, and I kept going, okay, I got to show my parents. I got to tell my parents. And then I'd go, oh, tonight's not good. I got to go out and meet so-and-so, and so I'll do it tomorrow. And I kept putting it off every day. And finally, I didn't know that they sent the magazines out to some people like a week early.
Yeah.
And so my dad's friend called him and told him. Oh, no, my brother's friend called and told him, and then my brother called and told my dad. And then my dad told my mom. And so
wow.
my mom was really pissed off at me. And then, you know, I said, I don't know why you're so upset. It's my choice. And, you know, I just sat there and talked to her, had a really long discussion. And I said, this is my choice. It had, you know, nothing to do with you. And I explained all of it. And then she was very supportive. Once she figured out that, you know, I'm a good person, I haven't changed, I'm, you know, I haven't lost my mind. So it was all okay in the end. They were
and then
very
you brought her up there. And
huh?
See, I think when you bring up somebody, like you said, you brought your mother up to the mansion, then they really see that it's okay. Did that happen when you brought her up there?
Yeah. So she was just, you know, freaked out at first. Like, I didn't raise you like that. Why the hell are you taking your clothes off for money? And I looked at her and I'm like, it's not about taking my clothes off for money. This is like self-expression for me. And just kind of saying, here I am, world. You know, it was a choice that I wanted to make, and I made it. So, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I made the choice. It's in print, and, you know, roll with it, have a great time. That's what I did. That's how I thought about it.
Yeah. And over time, they probably were just fine. What about your sisters, though? Because sometimes if a sister's younger, how old were you, by the way, when you did Playboy?
I was a little older at 25, almost 26. And so my one sister, Toni, is my best friend, and she's 4 years older than me. And then I have a sister, Tina, who is 4 years older than Toni. So she's 8 years older than me. But she's a little bit of a challenge, so we don't speak.
Yeah, that happens. That happens, unfortunately,
yeah.
With family.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just interesting.
You know, when,
When you were 25, though. You were 25, though. That's you can do whatever you want, and wherever the pieces fall, that's the way it's going to be. 25. It's not like you were 18, and I was 24, 25, too. It's like you're not 18. It's not like you just left the house.
Right, exactly. Like Christy was on testing on her 18th birthday. I was like, oh, I was such a baby at 18. I don't know if I could have taken my clothes off, because modeling lingerie and sometimes very skimpy lingerie, you get really comfortable just shooting like that. So, you know, it wasn't really hard for me to disrobe, you know, when I was doing my Playboy shoot, because it was another shoot just without clothes. So
you were comfortable with your body and you knew how to model.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't that big of a deal to me. I don't know. I don't think nudity is a big deal. I think so many people are hung up on nudity and sexual, you know, everything. They get hung up on,
I agree,
on so many things, and they just need to, you know, relax.
In America, they are.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know men that don't look at women. They're more visual than we are. They're different. They're wired differently than we are. So
that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Playmates in our year, because I don't know if you realize, but there's 3 Playmates that have passed away in our year. Did you know that?
I know that Stephanie Adams, Tiffany Sloan, and who else? Oh,
Anna Nicole Smith.
How could
Which
I forget her?
We know as Vicky Smith.
Right. That's
so
sad.
So that is strange. That is very sad. And it's a lot. And it's just very, very sad. And I remember that you were really good friends with Miss January 92, Susie Simpson. Are you still close?
Yes, I'm still very close to Susie. She's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
She's a really solid human being, you know, just in every aspect of being a good human. She's just such a kind, sweet soul. She really is.
She really is. And were you guys getting married and having kids around the same time, you know, when you were doing all that? Yeah.
We did. We had a bit of a falling out for a minute because her ex-husband was a total dick. And we kind of had a little bit of a falling out for a minute. And then when I had my son, we kind of got back together. She called me and, you know, we forgave what had happened, whatever it was, I don't even remember, and just moved on. And thank goodness she got away from the jerk, and she's happy. She's really happy and doing really well.
That's so good. Yeah. So these are lifelong friends that we make here. And I know we all were saying that we're so fortunate to have that and be a part of a legendary thing. I mean, there's never going to be anything like this. And it's been so different since Hef died. We're part of that. Do you just feel really special about that fact?
Yes. I think it's a really special club to be involved with. And I have made so many really good friends, really good, solid friends, you know, and that's the thing, you know, playmates are judged, but we're just like, you know, everyday girls that, you
we
know,
sure
just
are.
Happen
girl,
to
the
be,
girl next door.
Right. We just happen to be pretty with smoking hot bodies, you know, and we were fortunate. I feel blessed. I feel fortunate to have been, you know, attractive enough to pose in Playboy. That's a pretty big ego boost.
It really was. It really was. So after Playboy, your Playboy came out and you were modeling. You said that you got sick in, what, 1998?
99. Well, I got sick, right? Yeah, I got sick in 98, but I didn't know. I kept going to doctors, and they kept saying that nothing was wrong with me, and maybe it was, you know, postpartum depression, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not depressed. I'm sick, you know.
Can you tell
us
about everything? Because maybe somebody else out there listening has this, too, and you can help them, your experience with what you've gone through.
Yeah, my joints were swollen and hot to the touch, and just, I shuffled when I walked. I felt like a 90-year-old woman, and I started getting something called Raynaud's, where my fingers would turn blue, and then red, and then, or no, blue, white, and then they'd go back to kind of pinkish. When you would get cold or you would get stressed out, you would have these Raynaud's attacks. And I kept saying, oh, my gosh, why are my hands doing this, my fingertips? And so they kept doing blood work and all these different tests. And I was finally sent to a rheumatologist who specializes in, you know, lupus, scleroderma, all the rheumatic type diseases. Gout, rheumatoid arthritis. And so I went to UCLA, that was supposedly the top clinic, and they gave me 6 months to 2 years to live because I have the systemic form of it. Yeah. And I had a new baby. And so I was like, I remember driving home, leaving, going, screw you, I'm not ready to die, you know? So
yeah.
I went for alternative treatment. I went on the antibiotic therapy through the Roadback Foundation. And I believe that really helped, you know, slow down the progression of the scleroderma. And it really helped with my joint pain and all of that. So,
and you did not die in 2 years.
I did not die. I'm 22 years later, still rescuing dogs. I mean, I have, you know, days where I'm sick or I have issues dealing with the illness and I have to go to the doctor a lot and things like that. But you just learn to live with it and you just keep going one foot in front of the other. So I have things to do before I leave the planet. So I'll just go till, you know, so I can't go anymore.
Yeah. So how do you feel about doctors who give people 2 years? Because somebody has said that to my mom. And do you think that is their right to put that in somebody's mind?
I think they need to be honest. I think they need to be honest with the patient. But I think they need to say every patient is different. Some live a short amount of time, but some survive and live years. So we just don't know. So let's say you're going to be the one that, you know, lives years with this. You kind of need to spin it in a positive light. I mean, because regardless if I had a death sentence, I still wanted to remain really positive and show my son. Even if I died, I wanted him to see that, you know, I wasn't bitter, I wasn't angry, that we all have different journeys here. And, you know, I became a lot more spiritual too after I was diagnosed. So God gave me a lot of just hope and inspiration and you know, something to, you know, aspire just to do better,
That's wonderful. And so you took the positive route, and I'm not surprised knowing you. So that's wonderful.
Aww.
I'm glad you're having a fulfilled life. And you taught your child that. You taught your son that. Do you only have one child?
I have one son, I didn't want to risk my health and a baby's life to have another one because there's a lot of complications, very high-risk pregnancy. And I said, I already have one beautiful, amazing son, so I'm just going to be grateful for that amazing son. I have a lot more than a lot of women. A lot of women can't even have one baby. So I'm going to be very happy that I was blessed with this incredible little human being. And so that's how, you know.
How it is. I have one too. And how old is he?
He's 22 now.
Oh, my goodness. Really? I'm imagining like maybe a teenager or something. Wow.
He's graduating college next year. And so he's just a really, really good kid. I was blessed with a really easy kid, a really sweet kid, you know, didn't give me any trouble. And I was like, I used to say, how did I deserve such a sweet kid, you know, that never gets in trouble? Because I was such a shitster little rebel when I was young, you know? And here my son is just like this little sweet, you know, very quiet, kind of a bookworm kid. So
that's so great. That's so sweet. And that's a testament to you as a good mom, though. And that's wonderful. And it sounds like you have a wonderful husband, too.
Yeah, I do. I was blessed with a really solid husband that, you know, he takes good care of me. So I'm blessed in that aspect.
Wonderful.
I'm not the easy,
so good to hear.
I'm not the easy person to live with. Uh-huh.
Me neither.
Yeah, but, I know. We're just, we're like fine wine. We tell it like it is. Like,
yeah, and I don't want to get away from that. I think that's the best way to be because I started to get away from that after modeling I wasn't so busy with that and everything. And I think that some friends thought, oh, you're the one who gets things done. I'm just going to have you do my stuff too. And so I struggle with that sometimes, people wanting to, you know, really suck my time up. I don't know.
Well, actually, I will say this, to Barbara's credit, that is true. I mean, like, every time I've ever bought her something, you know, to use for the show, it's always done, used productively. It's like, And I don't know if you've noticed this, Tylin, but have you noticed that whenever Barb likes to make something, she likes to show it to you? Oh, did you like this video I made? Oh, did you like this picture I made? I love the Barb that she does that.
Oh, she doesn't know me that well like that, John. We haven't even talked for years. She wouldn't know I do the show and tell thing.
You do show.
Do you know about the elevation in voice? Does she know about the elevation in voice? That,
no,
like,
she,
this is how Barb talks.
Knows.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
I don't think she notices everything you notice. She doesn't do a radio show with me for a year and a half. So.
Okay, you're right.
Well, let's get back to her. Okay, I have a lot of questions about the Playboy experience. Did you did you shoot anything special? Like, did you do a cover? Or I'm sure you did a lot of the little magazines, the special edition magazines they have and things like that, but like a Helmut Newton or a cover or something or foreign events that was wonderful that you got to see a part of the world, anything like that?
I traveled a lot. I went to Portugal and Spain and France and where else? Japan and I was fortunate to go to several different countries and it was a blast. It was usually for before Playboy. You know, like Playboy TV or Playboy Video, or, you know, they were launching something usually.
Well, that's cool that you were able to do that, because we've interviewed a lot of playmates and some never did one foreign job. You went to Portugal, Spain, France, you know, all these places that you were able to see. They didn't do one of them. Did you know that?
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, so, but that means that,
well,
they thought you're good at it. You were really good at it.
Right. Well, the whole thing is, a lot of girls didn't know the drill. Like, I modeled before. I knew the whole casting thing. I knew how you had to be at jobs. You know what I mean? You had to show up on time, be dressed to the nines, hair, makeup. Like, you just had to, you know, do certain things. And, you know, I didn't, every time I went to the Playboy building, it was always when I was dressed to the nines, you know, because, and I'd walk around and say hello to people. And I think that when you're just professional, you show up on time, you do a good job, you have a personality, they keep hiring you. And I know you got hired a lot as well. Susie did too. She went on a lot of foreign jobs. Are you there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry,
oh, okay.
I am so sorry. I had it on mute by accident. I was just saying
that's okay.
You know, girls who were 18 years old, so young, they didn't have a business mind like that at first. And I remember,
no.
You know, they put two girls together. Echo Johnson was put with me, and they have you walk around and introduce yourself to all of the different apartments in Playboy. There's a lot going on. And, you know, some
exactly.
Didn't even know to do that. She's like, I learned a lot from you because, you know,
yep.
you had the business mind, and it
yep.
helped her get some foreign things with me. And
yep.
yeah, so I think it's fortunate. And I would never, I'm like you, I would never have been ready to take my clothes off in front of anybody at 18 or 19 or even
no.
20.
No way.
Uh-huh. I'm so modest.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been horrifying. But at 24, I was like, okay, I'm a woman. I'm open with it. I'm proud. I can handle it. So, you know, I'm glad I did it at that age. I was ready for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like you. And did you have Alexis Vogel do your makeup the whole time? And did you shoot everything with Steve Weida, the photographer, or Arnie?
No, I started with Arnie, but Arnie and I, at the end, we just, like, had a block, and we were just getting on each other's nerves, and I was snappy. He was snappy. And so Marilyn Grabowski came down and said, okay, I'm going to have Steve Weida, you know, finish your shoot. And so they changed halfway through. But Arnie shot the first, like he shot my centerfold. He shot my headshot. Steven Weida, some of the small camera, the other small camera stuff. And then, yeah, I finished. And then I went on my video shoot from hell.
Why was that hell?
Because I think they hired that person that was friends with Hef, and they were just, I don't know, I remember they had all these people when I was supposed to come out and do a scene. And, you know, you don't have any clothes on. So it's kind of rude when, like, all the guys that don't need to be there, like, sitting there like it's a show. So I said, I want to, you guys promised to have a clothes set. So I want those guys that don't have anything, you know, to leave. And they got mad at me. They thought I was difficult. But I'm like, screw you. That's rude. So,
you
know.
You got your butt in the air towards a wall. That's where you want it to be, not a guy walking behind you.
Exactly.
Copying a look.
So, right. And so I just got kind of, you know, I didn't want to. I just got irritated with them because it's just a matter of respect. And just because we're naked in a magazine doesn't mean that we want to be you know, dancing naked in front of people. You know, it's totally different. Yeah. So the video part, I didn't like that much because of the company that they hired. And then I got Michelle Vanderhoel to do the makeup on my video because they would hire a really crappy makeup artist. And, you know, I was just like, oh, no, I don't need a train wreck video. So I wanted to at least look good.
Yeah, and Alexis definitely made us look good. And she said she couldn't do my video either and gave me Michelle's number too. And then I ended up using Michelle so much for other stuff. And still to this day,
I love Michelle. She's so good.
Me too. But how did you feel about when Alexis passed away?
Oh, that, you know what? That really made me sad. She was such a talented makeup artist. And makeup artists are truly an artist. It really is artwork when they paint somebody.
But she was your friend.
I know.
Did she refer you and tell you? You were saying that she said, were you working with her on another shoot, a modeling shoot, and met her? Is that how you met her?
Yes. And I, you know, we connected instantly, and she, you know, told me I should, she's like, you should be a playmate. You know, so it happened. It happened when it was supposed to, and it all worked out well.
We did a tribute to her, and we had playmates call in, and we had a medium on the show, and we actually channeled her.
Did she come?
And we should have. I sent a whole thing out to everybody. All the playmates I knew, you know, we could have been junk mail. You could have gone to your spam, but if we do that for Hef, we are thinking of doing that for Hef, and we're going to have, we could have up to 75 people on our, for our TV channel. It's not a podcast, it's actual TV, and you can come on. We do it through the Zoom platform or the, you know, platform like that, so you can see us, and we're going to be doing that, and I mean, that'd be cool if you were taking part in that.
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd love to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that great, Johnny?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yes. Well, I want to do a shout out for your animal rescue. What do you call it? What's your company's name?
Okay, it's Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue and Transport. And they, you know, you can go on my Facebook page. Everybody can find Tylin John, and they can PayPal donations, or I always raise money for animals like Puerto Rico dogs. You know, I always try to raise funds to ship them back to help them get a chance at the dream in the U.S., you know, the dog
dream. I know they've got their dream too.
Yeah.
But Tylin, you said that during the coronavirus, you're having trouble bringing the dogs back.
Yes, they're United stopped flying any animals, and the only person doing shipping of dogs cargo right now is American Airlines, and they have very few flights that accommodate dog kennels, and the need is so great. There's dogs waiting, you know, growing up in rescue because they can't get a flight here. And so it's coronavirus has also caused a lot of dogs to, you know, die unnecessarily because we can't get them here. It's a logistical problem. So
okay, but that's temporary. So then after that is sick, then we could start doing that. We could do a mission. I'll come over and help. I mean, that would be wonderful to see Puerto Rico and get something done that's good as well. You know, I want to help. But you don't get the cats? Do you rescue those?
I rescue kitty cats too. I actually just rescued three that were on death row from Fresno, California. So I said, okay, they were on the last call list. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sad. I can't. So I
How many
said
cats
I would take
do you
them.
Have?
I have 10.
I knew you were going to say something like that. I love kitty cats, though, but you know what? It seems like they can survive a little more easily than dogs. I mean, they jump in the garbage
yeah.
and they can jump out. They can, you know, catch
right.
a mouse. Dogs, yeah.
They go feral pretty quickly, you know, so.
They do. Oh, and they spread
yeah.
that around. Well, thank you
right.
for what you do. You know, that's
well,
very
thank
good.
You. I'm going to go back to Puerto Rico soon, so maybe in a few months. Maybe like in February or March. So if you want to come, let me know.
Yeah, I would love to. And my aunt, I almost did make it there one time and something was canceled. Oh, I was going to go and do dance exhibits, you know, and
oh,
on a cruise.
Yeah.
And the partner
yeah.
I was doing it with that we, he died unexpectedly. Yes.
Are you
and
kidding
then I,
me?
Oh, no. And I needed the partner. Yes. And so that was such a disappointment. And we were going, you know, all around with this cruise and we were going to stop there. And I had told my family, they were so excited. And then I couldn't do it. So I am really curious when I say I want to come. And they want me to
okay.
so badly. Yeah.
Okay. What part do they live in?
I don't know, but I will ask them. What part do you live
okay.
in?
I'd rather not say on air,
oh.
but.
okay. Sorry.
I'll just say I'm
That's
on.
True.
I'll just say I'm on the beach.
Okay. Well, gosh, I would hope that everybody would be on the beach because.
No, the
photos.
Beach,
I assume so.
The beaches are gorgeous there.
I mean, why live there? You got to be on the beach.
I know exactly. That's what I said. And the
oh, yeah.
sea turtles come and lay eggs right out the back door.
That's so cool. You have a house there. So
yeah,
wow, that's another wonderful thing in your life. Wow,
yes.
Johnny, don't you see every playmate? It's like have we had one like bad ending, Johnny, to any life
nope.
as a playmate that we've interviewed?
Any,
no, they're all doing fantastic,
playmate.
And we're
yeah.
Doing all eras, Tylin, and Candace came on. Candace Jordan was it? Is that right?
Oh,
oh she. Dynamic.
What
yes.
What about Peggy?
Peggy McIntager. Well,
yeah,
that's a person. Yes. So we will, you know, Johnny reaches out to people.
I saw on her Facebook she's friends with Eloise Brody, and I saw that Eloise Brody, I guess, was a playmate, and she's married to the guy, the Paul Mitchell.
John Paul Mitchell. I do know them as well, and I was on their private jet, John Paul Mitchell.
Oh, my God.
And with Lorenzo to go to a celebrity thing. Yeah, and I love Eloise, and she always is so kind to me. So, hey, there's a private jet
okay,
for the dog.
What about ask them if they love dogs, and maybe you can share with them what I do, and Eloise can come stay
yeah.
with us. We could have, like, a Playmate dog rescue trip and, like, videotape it for – your channel or whatever.
Yeah,
bring
that would be wonderful.
I mean, it would be so nice because it's great with one playmate doing it, but when you have the notoriety that, like, her husband has, if
yes.
he could bring awareness to it, it would be like, oh my gosh, it would be a miracle, really. I mean,
yes.
I pray for a miracle for these animals, and when you come and see it, you'll understand why, because it's so heart-wrenching to see these mom dogs on the street with little, you know, seven little babies running behind her, running in the street. It's just so, it's wrong. So we got to fix it. But we have to help the Puerto Rican people. A lot of them live way below the poverty level, and they don't have access to spay and neuter clinics like we have in the United States. And so we really need to set up more free spay and neuter clinics for people that don't have the money, because that's really one of the biggest issues, I think, facing
that
the overpopulation of dogs and cats.
Yes, because yes. I was thinking, oh, you must do that when you go to Puerto Rico. That must be a big part of what your company does, because that's the,
yes.
what needs to be fixed right there, because they're just going to keep multiplying.
Yes, and so it's like I just took, you can see on my Facebook, I just rescued 4 street puppies that were dumped in the neighborhood. And then one got bumped by a car. Thank goodness he wasn't hurt bad. Just kind of banged up, bruised up. Yeah, and he's okay.
What kind of puppies do you have?
They're just mixed breed, and they're called Sato, S-A-T-O. And a Sato is just a mixed breed street dog, is what the Puerto Ricans call them. And a lot, and you see a lot of feral dogs too, which means wild. They haven't had any human interaction at all. And so a lot of the puppies, they're born, you know, to a feral mom. And if you don't get them by the time they're like 3 months old, you'll never tame them down, you know. And so it's really imperative that you get them young enough to tame them, you know, to handle them and
right.
get them used to humans. Because I'll pick up puppies there, and they scream and they pee on you. I mean, they've never been held or touched.
Oh, and
so,
they are hard to get adopted. I mean, I can imagine impossible. Nobody wants to adopt a dog that's like biting them or, you know,
right.
peeing on everything. So. Do you have any right now? Probably not from Puerto Rico because of these new rules, but like, what do you have right now besides those Satos? Maybe we can get them adopted if somebody's listening, you know? I thought, why not?
Well, the Satos need to be adopted too. They be here. Hopefully, we're trying to get them chipped. So, we'll just keep on American Airlines, and hopefully they'll be here within a month. So then they could get adopted.
They're puppies, so is those?
Yeah, they're like 3 months old.
So that's early enough to catch, you know, so they're not, you know, harmed in the brain for life, being
right.
like nuts
yes.
from the abuse or starving or whatever.
Right.
Maybe they will turn out to be like the best friend of somebody or make a family happy. I mean, I'm looking for
exactly.
a dog.
I know.
I don't want to say, hey, I'll take one, but I mean, I am. And, you know, I was going to go to the breeder and try to figure out what kind I want, but the dog I grew up with, it was mostly, you know, Basenji, but then it had some terrier, and it was a cuter version of the, you know, full breed. Purebred.
Right. There's so many wonderful mixed breed dogs that need homes. And you know what? There's also some purebred dogs that need homes. So you never know. There may be a Basenji or a Basenji mix that you see, or maybe you'll come to Puerto Rico and meet your dream dog.
Yes, I know. And you know what? I'm having such a hard time.
It's a love connection. You'll get a love connection with the right dog.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out what kind. Okay, do I want that kind? Do I want
let the dog pick you.
Yeah, because I can't figure it out, because you're right. You need to go. And you look at that animal, and it looks back at you, and that, you say, that's it. That's the one.
Yep.
And I don't have that. I don't know where to go, you know?
Connection. Yeah, you'll feel it. When the dog comes up
to
you and the puppy, yeah, when the puppy comes up to you and their eyes just speak to you, you know that's the one. Just like when you meet, you know, a guy that you fall for. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the energy.
You have to have that. The energy, the connection, the chemistry, you know. So
if you say that I could go to Puerto Rico and really bring a dog home, I will say,
yep.
okay, that's what I will do.
Okay.
And I will be able to?
Yes. Yes. Right on right on the plane. As long as it's a smaller dog, you can take it right on the plane with you.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. Oh, but I don't want to wait too long, so I can do this before the coronavirus.
You got to plan it February, March, or April.
Okay. Not too far away.
That's not too far away.
And are dogs good with birds? Because we have two birds in a cage, and sometimes friends' dogs come over and try to jump on the cage. But, I mean, what if I leave the dog alone, and it's pretty young, and it gets used to the bird? When I leave to the grocery store, it's not going to, like, attack them and eat them, is it?
No. Why don't you get a smaller breed dog, and then you can also crate train them. Like when you go to the grocery store or when you're, you know, going out for an hour or two, you just put them in the crate with their bed.
Okay.
And then they can just sleep while you're gone. That's what I would
do.
We
have a little backyard area too.
Then you keep, you keep the dog and the bird safe, you know. And when you raise them from puppies, because I have birds, I have a conure and I have a green, a green tea conure and an umbrella cockatoo. So
wow.
My dogs don't go near the birds because when they were younger, they'd go up there and stick their nose in there and get bit. So they know better.
Those bigger birds. Oh, those are beautiful. My daughter's favorite is the conure. Wow, this is so cool. And where do you live now, Thailand?
I'm in Northern California.
Okay.
And I live
sounds
on
like
wonderful. 70 acres. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should come.
You've always
here.
Liked that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would love to take a road trip up there and see your animals. Do you have any other animals, like horses?
You and your daughter would have fun. No, I don't have horses anymore, but I have goats. I have pygmy goats, and I have ducks and swans and chickens and hens and peacocks. I have a bunch
really
of peacocks.
Getting to know you.
I know.
God. Wow. So you really are into animals. I do see and recognize the name of, you know, I see your marketing and then, because I recognize this name, Dynamic Duo, and that's the, tell us the full name of the rescue that you own.
Dynamic Duo, Dog Rescue and Transport. I used to transport shelter animals to the Bay Area. I used to, there was a little tiny rural shelter about 45 minutes from my house, and these dogs would go in this metal building and they would never come out because they would all get euthanized. And so I said, this is terrible. This is criminal. These dogs deserve a chance. So then I started loading them all up in my truck and taking them to rescues in the Bay Area. And I would have my rounds. I'd drop off 5 here, 10 there, you know, and I would take like 30 animals out of the shelter once a week or more.
You're very passionate about this. This is your real passion, I'm finding out.
Yeah, it is, because when I saw that if I took my time and I drove, I could save 30 animals from death. And I said, and if I don't do it, they die. So how can you not do it? It was literally driving them to save their life. So that's a hard place when you know that it's either live or die for them. Then you go, okay, well, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm just going to go drive them to San Francisco because I want to see them have a great life, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it's wrong. I think it's wrong and criminal that we euthanize so many healthy, sweet animals that are adoptable. And that we aren't running no-kill shelters. I understand if a dog is really animal aggressive or really human aggressive, or it has such bad behavior problems that cannot be corrected. I understand some animals have to be euthanized, but It should be a very low number.
I was going to say something. We have had a lady, and I guess I could have her on again. She has a cat house of over 1,100 cats.
Wow.
And she has about a couple hundred dogs, too. And I'm thinking about inviting that lady back because, you know, she was interesting last time. What's interesting about it is that when you hear about her, you think, well, that's not plausible, you know. What I've found is that the people who hear about her first, at the beginning, they're skeptics. But then after a while, you know, they become fans. Because they see what she's doing.
The proof is in the pudding. She doesn't have to explain. It sounds weird at first, but with the whole business, and they have birthday parties for kids there, it's really wonderful. And maybe they're accepting animals. You know, it's great. That's what we also connected everybody we were working with, which is a lot of animal psychics, by the way, which was helpful to a lot of our listeners.
So cool.
We connect all of these people. We have a Facebook group, and it's all about animals and shelters, and we wanted to feature the best ones. And so, Johnny,
that's
I think we
amazing.
Should redo that and start to really work on that, because Tylin is right. Animals. They're creatures. They're God's creatures. He loves them. Just, you know, scooping them up and killing them. So it is sad. Yeah.
It's
thank
wrong.
You for your work.
Mom, each little animal has a soul. And you're snuffing out their little soul solely because you don't have an adopter for them, or you don't want to feed them for another week. Or, I mean, our shelters, we really need a federal animal bill of rights, because a lot of the time they go into these rural shelters in California and they're abused in these shelters. They get really sick with kennel cough. They get no veterinarian care. It's just really wrong that we treat our animals like this.
It's probably not that expensive just to get the right medicine.
Right. No, it's cheap antibiotics, but they don't care because they're gonna kill it anyway. So they really don't care if it suffers before.
It suffers until they get to it.
Right, or until they euthanize it.
I didn't know that. That's what I meant. Get to it, you know, for its death. You know, they've got to do their paperwork probably. So, I mean, that is horrible if that's what's happening.
Well, a lot of shelters also are not transparent. They won't let the public see, you know, how they euthanize animals or how they treat them in the back. They keep the public away from it, away from, I'm not saying all shelters abuse, because they don't. There's some really amazing shelters in California. But there's also some bad ones that need to be exposed and fixed. And the problem is, it's a government entity. So if the rescues question them, then they kick them out and they say, oh, you're crazy. Well, no, we're giving the animals that are locked up in their prisons a voice. That's what the rescues are supposed to do. When we see wrongdoing or animals being treated improperly, you know, the rescues need to stick up for them. Somebody needs to stand up for them. So I wish, that's my hope one day, that animals get, you know, a bill of rights, a federal bill of rights, where there's just a standard of care that's required for animals.
Yes. That's not too much to ask at all.
Right, and that's also, the government entities need to follow the law, you know, and treat them accordingly.
Do you do this work with your husband and your son?
My son has no interest in my animals, which is fine. I think I probably, you know, I had animals my whole life. So maybe for somebody He's more of a cat person. He rescued a street cat from Puerto Rico from a high-kill shelter, and that's his girl. Like, he loves that cat.
Oh,
and it's
so
really
sweet.
So sweet, and she's such a beautiful cat. And so he's more of a cat person, but he's not really into my dogs. He thinks it's wonderful and everything, but he's not into it. And I don't.
I like him. Right. I mean, he has his own passions. So
he's
I like it when a guy like he's independent and he likes cats. And you know what? I love guys who like cats. I think it's sweet when they love their little cat and they get worried if it leaves for the night and they get all worried. And he's so sweet.
It is really sweet because he's in a college house, and he's got like four other housemates, and it's really funny because the cat bosses them all around. She's like the queen of the house. We call her the Puerto Rican princess. She's her name's Mila, and she's like bigger than life. You know, she struts around like, you know, it's. She's just funny, and she bosses them all around, like, open up the door. I want to go to the garage. They let her play in the garage. And so she bosses them around.
I
know. I
love
it.
Even the little spongy birds here, they have such different personalities. Yeah, and they're just tiny little things. Well, are you that radical, though, that you won't kill a spider that you find in your house?
No, I'm not radical. I kill flies and mosquitoes and black widows,
mm-hmm.
And I don't like rattlesnakes because they bit several of my animals here. So, I know they're important to the whole, you know, ecosystem. But if they come on my property and they're near any of my animals, I'm not risking getting bit, and so they have to go. But black widows.
That's
have
another
to go.
Way of. I think the tricky thing about snakes is that there are some that are poisonous, there are some that aren't, but then you don't really have time to care. I've heard somewhere that there's actually two different forms of snakes, and there's one that isn't poisonous, and then there's one that is, but they look really, really alike. And so it's like, why bother?
If you know snakes well, I can tell a rattlesnake from a rat snake is what they look similar, but if you know them well, their rat snake's head is skinnier and their eyeballs, their pupils are round. If it's non-venomous, the pupils are round. And you know, if I can't get a good look at the snake, I'm not going to kill it. Because I don't believe in bothering the non-venomous snakes at all.
No, I love snakes. I hold
no,
snakes.
And we actually just relocated a garter snake that the birds were surrounding, and we didn't want them to kill it. So, we take care of the good snakes.
Yeah, I played with gardener snakes. I guess I'm not afraid of snakes. But if
but
one
I
is just not a, in a cage, maybe.
I have resident spiders in some places that I leave them alone because they're just doing their thing. They're not bothering me. I just don't see the need to kill something just to kill it.
Just sweep it out.
Yeah. And you can also get the little spider vac. And just vacuum them up safely and then put them outside if you don't want them in your house.
Oh, that's good. I like all of these.
Yeah, my
sister
has one.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, my sister has one. And also, I have a mouse trap that is humane. So then I just go release them down the road.
That's good. See, things like this have to be shared a lot. So people know that there's alternative ways because a lot of people don't like killing anything. So, this has been wonderful. And we're coming up to the end of the show, but I just want to say thank you so much, Tylin, for coming on the show.
Thank you,
Tylin. It's been great. Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to have everybody.
Huh?
Yeah. I want everybody to go check out your animal rescue, Dynamic Duo Dog Rescue and Transport. And
yes.
Go to your Facebook and find out everything. Tylin
yes.
John, Miss March 1992. And look that up as well, because you're going to get a good eyeful of something awesome, which is your beautiful, beautiful centerfold, which is iconic. I don't know anybody
aww.
Else who is laying on a Harley Davidson. Do you?
You're so sweet.
Well, thank
oh,
you.
Sweet. All right, Barbara. Well, I love you, girlfriend.
I miss
and
you,
keep in touch. I know. I missed you, too. So you got to come to Puerto Rico.
I can't wait for our Puerto Rican trip, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be awesome.
Okay. Yep. I'll hold you
by. I'm excited. Okay.
Okay,
and thank
guys.
You, Donnie.
Yes,
good
Donnie.
Night, Barbara. Good night, Kellen.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Everybody.
Sweet dreams.
Night.
Sweet dreams. Bye.
Sweet dreams.